welcome. You are listening to the Watchman Alert Radio Network, broadcasting as a voice in the wilderness. This is Warn Radio, and I'm the Watchman, Dana Smith. Welcome to today's show. And we are living by faith in the whirlwind of the last days. Now stay tuned for a great show and line up today from Warn Radio. Greetings, everybody, and welcome to the WIBR Warren Radio. This is Remnant Battle Lines, and today we are going to be going through Revelation. We are in Revelation chapter 7, and Tower will not be with us today because there are certain things that are going on during this time of the year that keeps her really busy, and so this week she was with us in our advocacy prophecy news, but today she cannot. We're doing this. So at any rate, we are rolling on down. Of course, Thanksgiving is over with, and we are right now in the process of heading down into December. This whole year's gone by amazingly fast, and a lot of things continue to go on in the news, and you know, most of the news, it's just fodder, just nothing but garbage. We are inundated with news. We are inundated with information. And the information and the truth you need is the Word of God. That's what you need. Now, our websites that we have are warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. Be sure to go by our websites, and you can listen to the shows on that. You can watch the videos there. You can also read the articles that I write. And I encourage you, if you follow us on Twitter, if you follow us on Facebook, if you're with us on Instagram or LinkedIn, we have four Twitter accounts, and all of these things you can pretty much find us. You can go by our websites as well, and if you Warn USA, if you go scroll down, you'll find the Spreaker app. And that will have a lot of the shows right on it. But we do the shows, and we do them in both high-def video and in audio. And these things are posted to various sites. Where high-def video site is Vimeo. And we also have these things embedded in all of the shows that we do and the posts that are on warn-usa.com. Now, at the bottom of the Spreaker app, on the front page of warn-usa.com, you will see a bunch of links there to telling you where you can find the shows that are related to Spreaker. But we also send this out through Blueberry and another vast network of people that carry this. You can listen to us on iHeartRadio, on TuneIn, and many others. So it's one of those things. And of course, if you're on Vimeo, you can actually get us on various other devices and get us on your TV as well. So there is. This is part of what we call the WIBR Warn Network. The Watchman Institute of Biblical Research, the Watchman Alert Radio Network. And so this is what we send this out, and we try to do these in hour segments to make it easier for those around the world to download it and to listen to it on their cell phones and listen to it on their laptops or on their tablets or whatever they have. So those are all the various avenues, and today we are rolling on down. This is the Apocalypse, John's Revelation of Jesus Christ, Part 6. We're going to be dealing with sealed, and so It's one of those things that when we talk about being sealed, we're going to really get into some of these particular issues here, and hopefully we can get all this done, and then we will. We're right in the midst of this now. Of course, we publish these things, and when we get them done over on our website, Sworn USA. I put these together in various full playing lists on our websites, so you can find them on those on there as well. And I'm trying to think here. I had a bunch of other stuff I wanted to. Want to look at, but I can't seem to. Pound Watchman IS216. That's our basic account for a lot of things. If you're on Twitter, you can look. You can do that hashtag and find us, or hashtag Warren Radio, or hashtag WGS Watchman. Over on Facebook, it's facebook.com/Warren Radio. Instagram is, you know, they're pretty much connected to Facebook, but we tweet. I mean, this stuff goes out automatic, folks. I don't have time to tweet everything we do all the time. It just, we have stuff flying out pretty much from early in the morning to late at night. And then we also have stuff coming out from our websites itself. It's automatic. And it goes from Facebook through all of our Twitter accounts and everything else. Instagram is a little bit different character. On that, you'll find we have a lot of people that are in the news, both Christian and leaders in government. And some of them are Christian. I think all of them are. But at any rate, so when you follow us on Instagram, you can get all that, as well as a lot of the latest graphics that I put up as well. Just like the front of this particular thing here, I've got, you can call it a splash page, right in front of the video, where I've got a little little circle like a globe where I'm teaching out of it and stuff. That's a graphic that I've made. And I do a lot of graphics, been doing graphics for years and years, just like all of our websites I do. And so while you may think all I need to do is come on here and preach, this is really what I want to do, is teach the Word of God. And in the context of doing that, I have to do a lot of other hats here. And we've been doing this for over 21 years now in this end time ministry, but Tower and I go all the way back into the 70s, later 70s and early 80s when we graduated, when I graduated from school. And this is a Bible school, and went into the ministry. But we've been walking this path for a lot of years. And so at any rate, be sure, if you are on our particular pages, you know, one of our social feeds, be sure to listen to the shows and read the articles, you know, because that is the main gist of what we do. We're not on social feeds just to have fun. We're not on social feeds just so people can send us stuff so we can like it or you know, click the heart, you know. We're here for real serious business. The advocacy, talking about the persecuted church, telling you how you can get involved. We're dealing with issues that are paramount to Christian survival around the world as well as in America. And so I don't, while we are on a lot of social feeds, I don't play the game like others do. I don't have time. If you want to contact us, it is imperative that you contact us through our websites. I will not answer, probably 9 times out of 10, I will not answer anything on Facebook or anywhere else, because I don't do that. I have hundreds and hundreds. I got lots of places where people can do that. And I'm not, if you want to talk to me, number one, you listen to the shows, you read the articles, and you can make comments on our websites. You can contact us on our contact form. That is where, that's the platform for it. And so that's the bottom line. And our Vimeo site, the high-def Vimeo site, we've been on that thing for a lot of years. We have over 1,300. You know, it's just one of those things. You know, we're here today. We've been here for 21 years. But this world is coming against Christianity and Christ and the gospel around the world. So, at any rate, and this really does fit in with what we're talking about today. And that's the sealing of the tribes of Israel. You know, the bottom line of it is, you might say, well, and let me do that first before we begin, because this is Revelation 7, verse 1. And I'm going to read a couple things here. And then I'm going to go back and I'm going to read them again and teach them. But it's imperative that we get into this. After these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea. Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. And then in verse 9, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, all nations, kindreds, people, and tongues, which stood before the throne before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. And these were the ones, of verse 14, which came out of the great tribulation. That's the end times. It's interesting, you know, when you talk about seal, it almost will always come up here. And that is, in this verse in Revelation 7, John specifically writes, and he specifically mentions 144,000 that are sealed of the tribe of Israel. And the first thing that's going to come up, even in the dispensational church, number one, the dispensational church, and a lot of the pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib rapturist theologies, which I don't get into. You know, I don't care what you believe. If that's what you want to believe, fine. I'm waiting for the Lord, and when he's ready, he'll take me out of there. Until then, there's a lot of people that need help, and when he's ready, he'll pull me out. Come hell or high water, whatever comes, this God is going to see me and my family through, and anybody else who trusts in him. That's just the bottom line for me. You can, you know, believe whatever you want to. That's fine with me. I don't even get in that. I don't get into denomination. I don't care what denomination you are. I don't care what you think you are, because in the end, I teach the Word of God, which tells you how to know this God. And you're not going to know him through the flesh. You're not going to know him by church membership or being this thing or that thing or this belonging to this group or that group. That's nonsense. I'm not here, you know, to be a big chief mucky muck and tell you I'm the all-seeing eye. I'm not. I am just a preacher. I am just a man that God redeemed, and he has revealed a lot of things to me. Matter of fact, you know, I've gone on record saying that I don't need to know anything else. I'm fine. And the reason is because there's things all my life that I've known and seen, and that the Lord's revealed. And that's enough. I'm a human being. I want to live a life, and I want to get the word out. But all these people that live and die by prophecy and live and die by personal prophecies, and they have all these mitigated modern prophets that every day they're prophesying. That's nonsense. That's not scriptural. And I could go into depth here, but the bottom line of it is that when we look at this, they'll look at that and they'll see, well, this has to do with the children of Israel and the sealing. And it does. But there is some other things within that. The bottom line of it is that John doesn't have to write about the sealing of the Christians. And the reason he doesn't have to write about the sealing of the Christians is the Christians were already sealed. Ephesians 1:10 through 14. There is a sealing there. Now, when you get into Revelation, you talk about the sealing. This is a seal. And you can actually find this same thing in the Old Testament. God, this is not unusual for God to seal. And so, you know, you may think it is, but it isn't. Ephesians 1, verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, which are in heaven and which are on earth, and even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession under the praise of his glory. Now that's when it's all over, said and done, and you're in the presence of God. Now, see, there's no doubt that when you believe, you hear the word of the truth. That's the gospel. That's the word. And you hear it. You have to mix it with faith and believe upon it. And when you confess, you come to him, you're born again to the Spirit. Now, it goes like this, John chapter 1, to as many as received him. You know, he went to his own. That's the first part. And his own received him not. That is the house of Israel. Both houses together. That's the whole thing. No whole nine yards. And, of course, at the time that he came, they weren't all there because judgment had hit. And there was a good amount, smattering of Jews, but that wasn't all the tribes. They had been divided after Solomon because of the sin of Solomon. And so at any rate, so as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to those who believe on his name. And they were born again by the power of God, you know, not by the will of man. And in John chapter 3, you must be born again by the Spirit of God, you know, born again through the Spirit. And that's what Nicodemus couldn't understand. Then you get into Acts 3 through 7. It talks about confession, and you can read that. Confession is made with the mouth. Confession is made unto salvation. You get into 1 John chapter 1. John talks about, you know, 1 John 1, 7 through 9. If you sin, you know, you have an advocate. You can come to the Lord. And you can confess your sin. And that's what it says in those verses. And that he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So, as believers then, we were sealed when we heard the word of truth and the gospel of our salvation. Now, this action sealed us as believers unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now that doesn't mean that you're going to always, forever, no matter what you do, you're going to be okay. You're not going to be okay. The reason being is that you are sealed because we are saved as Gentiles and even the Jews. We are sealed by grace through faith. And grace comes out of God's mercy. God's mercy came out of his love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Christ so loved the Father and us that he came and died on the cross for our sins. So this is what we call the love of the truth. This is also what Paul writes when he talks about the fact that there's a generation coming. This is 2 Thessalonians 2. That they'll reject the love of the truth, which is the love of the Father, the love of the Son, the gospel, and anybody that believes on that, they're going to reject it. And God's going to send a delusion so they'll believe a lie. That's in that context there. We are in that time period right now, whether you believe it or not. We are there. We're not in the fulfillment of everything in those verses, but we are in that time frame and moving forward where people are rejecting that love of the truth. And John also warns us, 1 John, when you read through his epistle, there are those that try to separate the Father from the Son. And John says that is Antichrist. You can't have the Father and without the Son, or the Son without the Father. Now, this is precisely what Islam does, and this is what Judaism does, and this is what others do. Nevertheless, I'm not here to debate the fact. I'm here to tell you what the Word of God is. I'm not the one to write it. I'm not the one to put it together. And you either believe or you don't believe. And as believers, there are those who can fall away because they fail to continue to believe and seek the Lord. They just fall away. But that is what this sealing is. And when we talk about the sealing, this seal, in the Greek, it's known as it's kind of a force that is powerful, and it's associated with a particular act, and it means to stamp, to keep secret, to attest, to seal, to stop. Now, of course, you're looking for a mark, you ain't going to find one. God deals on the heart, not on the flesh. This flesh, this body is going to die and perish. Now, see, when the beast comes, he's going to put the mark on your on the forehead, and, you know, and he'll put it on the hand. That's where he has to put it. See, the devil can't touch the soul. Now, he can convince humans to seek him, and he can convince humans where he can come in and he can literally inhabit them. But see, when we talk about God's seal is on your soul. He has sealed you. And so we get these sealings kind of funny here when we think about it. Because even in the church, when we look at the sealing, we look at, you know, Christians going around with Jesus Christ across the top of their head or something where you can see it. Now, that could very well happen. But God seals the spirit, because that's who you are. You're going to put off this body of death. Paul writes about this 2 Corinthians 1 as well, and he says, for all the... let me go up to the other one here. Ephesians 1, 10 through 14. Ephesians chapter 1, 10 through 14. That's the first one, deals with the sealing. And then 2 Corinthians 1, 20 through 24. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, and of the glory of God by us. Now he which establishes us with you in Christ has anointed us is God. Now that's for all believers. You think, well, he has an anointing. Every believer has an anointing. But there is an anointing that's further than just the initial. You can call them gifts. There's offices. There's anointed pastors, there's anointed prophets, etc., etc., anointed teachers, who has also, who has also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Now that's how he sealed us. He put the Spirit of God within us. And moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul that to spare you I came not as yet unto Corinth. Not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy. For by faith you stand, and that's what I wanted to get at in there. That although, you know, we are sealed and we have God who put his Spirit in our hearts because we have believed, and there's a regeneration within that process, a theological term, where we are regenerated from within by the power of God. The darkness is overpowering. The strong man has been cast out. Now, Jesus even gave us parables to that fact, to binding the strong man. But you stand by faith. Now, when you get into Israel, that word in the Greek is the same word as the word used for the Christians. And of course, this is where theologically, this is where various people have different interpretations. I'm not going to go there. I don't care what they teach. I'm telling you what this is. When you get into both Ephesians, where it says sealed, speaking of Christians being sealed, and Corinthians, both of those words, sealed, is the same one used in Revelation, being sealed. So having said that, we go in here. Now let's go. And I gave you that as a background because there's a lot of stuff to understand here. And I always tell people when you get into this, you know, you don't live and die by prophecy. You know, and having said that, you do live and die by prophecy. And they're opposites. Because God, in prophecy, prophetically, called all things, you know, that were in the end that's going to happen. He did that from the beginning, ahead of time. He knew it. At the same time, we see things that occur in different time periods. You know, we're in the age of grace, or the dispensation of grace, which is going to end, by the way. There's going to be a dispensation of judgment, considerable. And this comes after the tribulation called the wrath. Dear God in heaven. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow in the earth, nor in the sea, nor in any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea. Hurt not the earth, neither the sea or the trees, till we have sealed the servants of God in their foreheads. Now, here you see that God is using angels. These are mighty angels that God uses. And these angels are holding back the judgment, is what they're doing. And they're holding back the winds and they're on the four corners of the earth, and these winds are the ones that are going to be bringing in this. This is a prophetic look. And another angel comes, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels. Now see, these four angels are not just holding up wind like you know wind, saying, you know, well, I'm going to stop the wind from blowing, so don't bother you. No, they're holding back the tribulation, the judgment to come. That's what they're doing. And that judgment is going to hurt the earth and the sea. Now, there's a reason for that. It's a reason because the nations themselves have rejected God. And, of course, at this time, by the time it comes along, now, when we get into these are the seals here. It's kind of interesting because we're going through the seals and we're talking about seals. So God likes seals. You know, we did earlier in this where there was only one able to open up the book and loosen the seals thereof. The seals that were loosened by the Messiah, Yahshua, Jesus Christ. And this is after, of course, he went to the cross. He didn't do this before the cross. He could only do it after the cross in order to fulfill that righteousness which God required. That's what that scene in heaven was all about. And so he loosens these things, and all of tribulation, now all of this stuff in Revelation is not about judgment. It's not about all the things that happen on the earth. Now you might think it will, and there might be PhD in theologies that say that. Well, I got news for you. I've interviewed PhDs in theology multiple, and you know, just because a person has a PhD in theology doesn't mean he knows all there is to know and that he doesn't know the truth. The truths of the Scripture come through the revelation of God, through the Spirit of God. And if it were true that all you had to do was be a PhD and know the original languages to know the truth, then Paul, as well as the priests and the others there who knew the law and the prophets, they would have recognized the Messiah, but they didn't. Paul didn't even know it. And Paul was a follower, was set at the feet of Gamaliel, one of the greatest of the teachers. And Paul was no schlup, but he was around at the time Yahshua was, and he didn't recognize him. He even persecuted the church, destroying it. And he says that I did it ignorantly, not knowing. It wasn't until the Lord revealed himself that Paul understood the truth. And so make no mistake about it. You know, just because you know the original tongues and languages, or you can read Hebrew, and you can go through all the law and the prophets, doesn't mean you know the truth. Not at all. Not by a long shot. To know the Messiah comes through revelation. Now, so this angel comes with the seals, hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. Now, I'm stopping here because I'm going to take you back to Ezekiel. Ezekiel 9:4. It's interesting because this is a vision on the judgment of Jerusalem. And Ezekiel, you know, is the prophet that was taken into captivity. He was on the river Chebar and had visions. But yet, within this, Ezekiel was around before he went into captivity, of course. So he would have been seeing what was going on. But it's interesting here, because when we talk about sealing, this gives you some insight into sealing. So listen closely. And the Lord said unto him, go through, he's speaking to an angel now, okay? Go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. Now he's targeting those who have an anguish of heart and a repentance for what is happening because of the abominable things done. These are people that are Jews that absolutely know the Lord God. They're following what they need to be following as far as what God has given them to. And they are just absolutely horrified at what has been happening in Jerusalem because they fell away. I mean, from the priests, the prophets, the kings, you know, the whole of the religious establishment that should have known the Lord God had fallen away. So, you know, when you tell me that the Church of Jesus Christ in America hasn't fallen away at all, I tell you, well, that isn't even scriptural. And the reason it's not scriptural is because you have never arrived, really. And in America, we have a propensity for hedonism and what I call the bubblegum church and the fairy tale Jesus. This is the problem we have here. And we play our little games of religiosity and our little games of denominationalism and all the rest of this stuff. And we tell the people sitting in the pews, do this, 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 and this. And many times, some of the things they're doing, they say, well, it's okay. Go ahead and do it. And that's exactly what happened in Jerusalem. I could give you some paramount examples here of what preachers within the church are doing. But needless to say, Satan is in the pulpit. Hirelings are in the pulpit. Not in all of them. But you have to understand that all I can do is preach, teach, and warn. I'm not here to twist your arm and make you believe anything. That's the Spirit of God who will convict. And all of them are going to stand before God. And so Ezekiel 9:5. And to the others he said in my hearing, go you after him. Now see, there's other angels behind this one. Go you after him through the city and smite, and let not your eye. This is the judgment. This is in the spirit, okay? This is the judgment in the spirit, which will be fulfilled by an army that is actually going to invade. Let not your eye spare, neither have you pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark. And begin at my sanctuary. Then they began at the ancient men which were before the house. Now these are the elders. They're in the sanctuary are the priests, the prophets, the ancient men who are sitting in the street. I mean, you know, all the elders, the young. Now, see, if that person upon whom was the mark that God had the angel put there, his family would be fine as long as they're with him. Unless they're above the age of accountability and have nothing to do with their parents or their dad. But at any rate, Ezekiel 9:7, and he said unto them, defile the house, fill the courts with the slain, go ye forth. And they went forth and slew in the city. And of course, when Jerusalem fell, this is, of course, the tribe of Judah. This is the one which David, of course, founded. He's the one that declared Jerusalem and set up his house there. David has a lot of prophecies, and David was known as a man after God's own heart. And there was a lot of promises given to David because of who David was. Yahshua coming again will be known, is known prophetically as the greater son of David, because he's coming to fulfill some of the promises concerning him. And so the judgment is considerable. And it came to pass, while they were slaying them, and I was left, that I fell upon my face and cried and said, O Lord God, wilt thou destroy all the residue of Israel and thy pouring out of thy fury upon Jerusalem? And no, he wouldn't. There would be a remnant left, and there was. There is always a remnant. Now, judgment is meant, this judgment was meant to get rid of the sin that had so corrupted the city. And there would come a remnant out of that. And that remnant came out after 70 years in captivity. And they built that second sanctuary because of Cyrus the Persian king, who overthrew the Babylonian rule. And so at any rate, when we talk about sealing then, God does a lot of sealing. I mean, we see that with the books that are sealed in heaven. We see that with sealing those Jews who were in Jerusalem at the time, who were in anguish and weeping over the sins of the city. And to this I say, where is the anguish? Where is the weeping? Where is the repentance of the church in America for what's happening to this country? Do I have to detail to you? Not to mention the obvious. The literally millions of babies that they've aborted. And they seek to do late-term abortion, which I think they've already gotten that done. That is the spilling of the blood of innocence. That is blood guilt. That defiles the land, and when that has flooded the land, it will cast the inhabitants of the land out. It'll bring horrible judgment. That's what blood guilt does. And I'm going to prove to you, if you will listen to this all the way through Revelation, the judgment of the blood. It goes all the way through from Genesis to Revelation. Now, I've actually taught on that, and I've got blood guilt stuff on our website. You can find it over there. I'm not going to take you all the way back through, but I'll take you through Revelation. This is the final straw. And, of course, this is the children of Israel. Now, verse 4. Now, you know, let's just a note on the mark again. It was a sign or a token that God would put there to seal these servants when this impending calamity would come. Now you see, there is somewhat of a problem about the mark and the sealing. Now see, we know the mark within Revelation and where it is supposed to be put. And of course, we always portray it. Well, today we portray it as a 666, and many people in the movies and stuff will have 666 across the forehead or on their hand. But you see, when we get into this, the mark of the Christians is not on your forehead, it's in your heart, it's in your spirit. So the question of it is, to what extent is this sealing in this mark? And is it going to be visible? We don't have a solid context for that. We have the context of the mark of the beast. And see, the beast shows those who are his. And you might think, well, you know, that's the beast. But you have to understand, this beast can do nothing without God. That mark upon those who have followed the beast is God's judgment. See, whenever you're talking about this, God's curses is Satan's blessings. You may think that's nuts, but that's not. Think about that. If Satan can get you to follow what God calls a curse, well, for instance, the Ten Commandments. You shall have no other gods before me. And today, we know our God and Father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, gave us of his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, Yahshua, HaMashiach, who came, died on the cross for our sins, was dead and buried, resurrected from the dead, became the first fruits, was seen alive by many infallible proofs, left instructions for the church, ascended to the right hand of God. The angel stood there telling the men of Galilee that this same Jesus that you have seen him go shall come in like manner in a cloud in the sky. He will descend and all eyes shall see him. And he will rule and reign for 1,000 years. Of which, at the end of that time, there will be the final judgment, the great white throne judgment. There will be a new heaven and a new earth. And the number of them which were sealed is 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Now, this book is in the context of what is happening on the earth. It is written by a Jewish apostle who, before Christ came, followed the same law and the commandments that the rest of them did. When Christ came, there were Jews who saw that he was the Son of God and received him. They were no longer justified by the law, but by grace through their faith they believed. And that's what Abraham did. Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness' sake. We're not talking about law-keeping Jews here that do not know the Lord. We're talking about those who were sealed of the tribes of Israel that came to know the Lord. Now, the big question here is, how can you say, oh, only 144,000 are going to be saved? I'm not. It's not even true. This is during the deep part of the tribulation. And if you look in Zechariah, you will also find the judgment and the end of time. And you'll find that 2/3 of them in Jerusalem, when the judgment starts, will be destroyed, and 1/3 will be saved, for instance. Okay? Now, are there any Christians in this? Now, there's a couple of different ideas on this, including a Jewish prophet who openly taught that there will be those who are Jews that will have massive amounts of Gentiles who will be under their ministry and wing. And when they become sealed, those under them will become sealed in the house. In other words, they're part of the household, so they'll be protected. I don't really concern myself about all that. And the reason is because we've got main, what I call, marching orders. And you have to read this book in context. Because the sealing here that we're talking about, the seals, which talk about the sealing, and that's what we're going through, is the seals. These represent over the whole time period of what is happening. And then we're going to go into a time when it's prophecy that's about Israel and about more specific things. And so you can take this book absolutely prophetically, and everything is typed out. That's not the way to take it. You take the book of Revelation literally, where you can take it literally. You always take it in context, both with the Word of God in the New Testament and the Word of God in the Law and the Prophets. And that includes Psalms as well, and the others, the writings of the Tanakh. So 144,000 within this space during the tribulation who were sealed. Doesn't it all mean that this was the only ones that are there that come out of it? And that's true, because we see at the end, I read that verse to you. Of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben was sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000. Asher were sealed 12,000. Nephilim or Naphtali were sealed 12,000. Manasseh were sealed 12,000. Now, here Ephraim is mentioned as a tribe itself. The blessing of inheritance is seen here. And this is where, when we talk about it, The blessing of inheritance here is through Ephraim, because Ephraim is the one, not Manasseh. Remember, Joseph was the one mentioned here. Now, this is interesting, that within the confines of the family, you have Jacob, or Israel. He had all of his sons with him. Joseph was sent ahead of him. And, of course, he went from the prison cell to the second in charge of Egypt. And he married, at that point, when God raised him up, he married the daughter of one of the chief idol priests there, you know, the idols of Egypt, and she would have been beautiful. God would not have given him a gift that's not beautiful. It would have been perfect. And I believe she became a believer just like Joseph did. I absolutely believe that. I have no problem believing that at all. And Joseph had a lot of wisdom, a lot of things that God did through him. And he had a child, Manasseh and Ephraim. Manasseh was the oldest, and the blessing of inheritance should have went through him. But he didn't. It went through Ephraim. And Ephraim got the blessing. And the blessing was not only just the inheritance that should have come through, but in Joseph's line, this is the first one out of all the sons of Jacob of Israel. There's one line that we see Joseph marrying someone who is not within the family, per se. Not a believer, total idolatrous. You call her total Gentile. She was. You can see this stream of the Gentile blood entering in at Joseph. And it comes to find out that within Ephraim, they received the blessing, as was given, of course, to Abraham, that in him all the nations of the earth would be blessed. With the nations of the earth, we have the little tiny nation of Israel, the Jews, and then you have the nations of men. The nations of men were everything else. There's Jews and Gentiles, and that's very obvious in the Torah. They were unbelievers. God chose one nation, Israel. And that's the way it was. That's what he chose. But in Joseph, that one line of Gentiles was engrafted in. This is through the flesh, of course, not through the spirit. It just happened. But see, Ephraim, though, got the blessing of inheritance, saying that in Ephraim all nations of the earth would be blessed. And so when you fast forward, you can trace the Gentile inheritance to the tribe of Ephraim, the Gentiles themselves, because that's part of it. Not just in Abraham, as Paul says, but also in Ephraim, because Ephraim is the one later on down the line. It's just an interesting thought when we look at that. Of the tribe of Simeon were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph. Now see, this is where we see Joseph. There was no tribe of Joseph. But Ephraim the youngest received the blessing of the firstborn in Genesis 48:14. And it refers, this word Joseph refers to Ephraim, the largest, which were sealed 12,000. And of Benjamin were sealed 12,000. Now it's interesting to note that the tribe of Dan in this is omitted here. Nobody knows, for instance, why. But see, the tribe of Dan ended up being devoted to idolatry early on and stayed that way. And eventually, the tribe of Dan became extinct. Now, there are those people who believe that study this, that the Antichrist would come out of Dan. We don't know the reason why they would believe this, except they just, you know, you just think logically and spiritually that Dan, since they're not mentioned here, and that they got into idolatry and stayed that way, that logically the evil one would come out of the tribe of Dan and would have the spirit of the devil, of course, within him. And Dan is omitted. Now, Levi is included. They are God's priests, and their inheritance is of him. And this is just not about the tribes of Israel, but it's about Israel in general. You know, all of those gathered together. And Levi was the one that God had said the inheritance, their inheritance was of him. And this is a spiritual, this is a list of the sealings, and it's the inheritance of God, which are all things very spiritual and very real, things that will come to pass. And so they are included in this as being the ones that are sealed. Now, Jacob gave prophecies of all the tribes of Israel, and he said, Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Dan shall be a serpent by the way, an adder in the path that biteth the horse's heels, so that his rider shall fall backward. And of Dan he said, Dan is a lion's whelp, and he shall leap from Bashan. Now, the thing when I read this in Genesis, Dan shall be a serpent by the way, and serpent is another name for the devil. And of course, when you're following idol worship, you are going to be worshiping demons and stuff. So, he that biteth the horse's heels, his rider shall fall backwards. It's interesting that he would say rider, because when we look in the picturesque prophetic thing, even in the Old Testament, anything with a horse on in it and a rider, there, you'll find it in the Old Testament. You'll find it here in, we have already, or we will, rather. You know, we get that horse and rider concept and the four horsemen of the apocalypse. It's very prophetic. So when we have the serpent here mentioned in the same verse with horses and a rider, we get immediate picture of a rider of the apocalypse. And one of the horses that in the four horsemen, of course, is white. A rider on a white horse, which we've discussed. We told you that that represents the Antichrist who is to come. It's part of a judgment. And there are those that believe that represents Christ, but we already know what Christ looks like on a horse, and it doesn't look anything like this rider of the four horsemen. Not at all. He has a white horse. Big deal. No, this rider of the four horsemen of the apocalypse is the deceiver. He's coming as an angel of light. He's coming as the redeemer. Now, see, so that's why I believe why people look at this and they think that Dan wasn't mentioned, and therefore, when we look at the background on this out of Genesis, we find him. And we could very easily put him in there as being the Antichrist, which that's another word that we use that we shouldn't be using, because this particular word here, when we talk about it, we're not looking for the Antichrist. As John said, there's many Antichrists all the way around there. Even Barack Obama had Antichrist qualities in the things that he followed and believed. There's Antichrist religion. All that means is they're Antichrist. Islam is anti-Christ. They don't believe that Jesus is the Christ. They don't believe in the Son of God. They'll call him a prophet. They'll call him a teacher, a good man. but they will not call him the Son of God. And that's what the whole battle is over. Now, we are looking for, Paul calls him the son of perdition. John in Revelation 13 calls him a beast. Now, there's a reason there's two different names. Paul described him for what he does. He's the one that's the destroyer, and he's going to lead people to destruction. The beast shows his roots, how deep and dark where he came from, and who he's directly connected to. It's more of a relationship, and the other one is more of what he does. Because the son of perdition is the one title meant to show the judgment that God allows. Now, when we talk about Dan, we have Revelation 21:12. While in the ceiling we find Dan being omitted, in Revelation 21:12, that's the wall. This is of Jerusalem, the spiritual Jerusalem. 12 gates. It had 12 the gates, 12 angels, and names written thereon, and the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. So, many people, while we don't know why Dan was sealed, we see him being put within the context of being one of the tribes of Israel, and he would be on the wall. The names of the 12 tribes are mentioned. They wouldn't be mentioned there, but God put him there. Now, that points to another thing, being saved so as yet by fire. And we find that in Revelation, in one of the places, in the letters to the churches. And when you talk about being saved by fire or refining of fire, that's an Old Testament term as well. And so, to the Laodicean church, the Lord said, you think you're rich and in need of nothing, but you're wretched, poor, blind, and naked. The Laodicean church is a spiritual type of the churches today. It's not the only church out there, don't get me wrong. But that is, if we were going to look at it in a particular dispensational type church, the Laodicean church is the one that we see for this time in which we live. But it's not the only one. And as I went through the churches, I explained some very important truths there, that even though a church has judgment on it, doesn't mean there's people in it that don't know the Lord. It means absolutely the opposite, that there are people within the churches, even if the church is Laodicean, they may not be. But the church, the gathering of people, is known, because that's what the leadership is. So, at any rate, and there's proof of that in those churches, and I go through that in the letters to the churches, and you'll find that in this series. So you can find that on our website. So. Now, so at any rate, Dan could have easily, some of those in there, could have easily gone through the fire, repented, and found themselves coming to the Lord. The children of Israel themselves, in the Gospels, almost all the churches, Gentiles know this, if you've been in the Bible at all, that there's, and of course, Revelation chapter 11, Romans, Paul's in there talking about Israel. But in the Gospels, we talk about the sealing, about the children of Israel being blinded. And there's coming a day that when the fullness of the Gentiles are over, that the blindness, that Israel won't be blind anymore. And that Israel, more of them, will be saved. And there's a lot of Jews that are saved today. And they're saved by grace through faith. Now, when we talk about things here, the golden calf at Bethel, for instance, there was Bethel and Gilgal. The sins there affected the whole of Israel. The northern tribes were carried away. And this northern tribe of Israel, which had the 10 tribes, was where they worshipped the calf, or you could relate it to Baal. Amos, verse 13, in that day shall the fair virgins and young men faint for thirst. Verse 14, they that swear by the sin of Samaria and say, thy God, O Dan, liveth, the manor of Beersheba liveth, even they shall fall and never rise up again. They're swearing to the golden calf. Verse 4, come to Bethel and transgress at Gilgal, multiply transgression and bring your sacrifices every morning. Amos is given a judgment here, by the way. Bring your sacrifices every morning, bring your and your tithes after 3 years. Verse 5, but seek not Bethel, nor enter into Gilgal, and pass not to Beersheba, for Gilgal shall surely go into captivity, and Bethel shall come to naught. And it follows the same thing, that when you get in the Old Testament, even on the judgment of Babylon, you know, let all your prognosticators and astrologers and all the rest of them and your gods try to save you from my hand. You know, go ahead and seek him. See if that'll save you from God Almighty. It's not going to. But see, this illustrates that sin. Now, of course, the 10 tribes are carried away and thoroughly mixed in within the nations. They were carried away. Now, not all of them were carried away. Some of them stayed in the land. But for the most part, a lot of them, and they were mixed in, where you couldn't recognize that they were a Jew from their voice or their look or anything else. And so many of the scattered Jews actually were connected in with a Gentile lineages, just like we find back in Joseph when he married, when he was connected to this high priestess, who I believe later on became a believer in the Lord God. And out of her came Ephraim and Manasseh, of who they had both the blood of Joseph and the blood of their mother, which was, they had been pagan idolaters. And so, you know, the bottom line of it is that the Gentiles, within the line that we call the Gentiles, there are mixed, there are Jews that don't know that they were Jewish lineage. And of course, within even the children of Israel, at the time when Christ came, the people that were living in the land, that wasn't all the 12 tribes of Israel. That mainly, you know, if we talk about Judah, of course, was where the temple were and the priests. And of all of the tribes, they should have stayed pure. But they didn't. They fell too. and so they went into judgment. And what you see in Israel when Christ showed up would have been the tribe of Dan. I mean, not Dan, but Benjamin, the tribe of Judah. And you would have found the Levites. Now, of course, today you have even more than that, because there are actually people trying to track down Jews from around the world who were actually keeping the law and following the Torah, and they don't even live anywhere near. And some of those tribes have been brought back into Israel. And so there is a push to gather the children of Israel. But what I'm saying is that there are many that are part of the tribes that that they don't even know they're parts of the tribe. And of course, you can find a lot of this if you study the line of Ephraim and study the prophecies concerning the two houses of Israel. But see, the thing we're going to look at now in this is verse 9. And after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, all kindreds, people, and tongues, and stood before the throne and the Lamb, and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. Now this is a vision of all of the redeemed. And this is the gospel, folks, because the Lamb of God is there. He's the one that was before the Father that opened the seals. Now this is a vision of a large great multitude which no man can number. That's Jew, Gentile, male and female, of all nations, all kindreds, all people, all tongues. Okay? And that is your goal, to get to that point there. Now, when we talk about the tribulation and talk about all this and the sealing as a Christian, there are a lot of things that we have not been taught within all of this properly. And that's the fact that within the rule of the Antichrist, there is going to be miracles and signs and wonders. There's going to be deliverances. But the overcoming part within Revelation to those who are believers is this, Revelation 12:11. They overcame him, meaning the devil, the beast, the dragon, by the blood of the Lamb. They're redeemed. That's the gospel. They received him. The word of their testimony, that's what they speak. The Lord himself said in the Gospels, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before the Father and his angels. If you deny me before men, I'll deny you before the Father and his angels. And they love not their life unto the death. He says, they that, and the Lord in the Gospels again said, he that loses his life for my sake in the gospel shall find it. And he that saves his life shall lose it. And these are the opposites. If you lose your life, you'll find it. If you try to save your life, you'll lose it. And many people do during persecution. We've traced this down during the Catholic Inquisition that happened so many years ago, decades, centuries ago. And people do, during the course of this, relent and do what they're urged to do. But you're coming to the final tally here. And of course, this is where people, especially in America, who have been taught that, you know, you go to church, you do all your thing, and if you're here at the right time, you're going to be taken up in a rapture and you'll never have to go through any of this tribulation. I'm here to tell you that's not the truth. I'm ready to go anytime. It can happen anytime. I'd be happy. That's fine. But it's not going to. People say, what's going to happen in the mid-trib? And I can show you that from... One of the main things of Bible school, that's what they taught you. That ain't going to happen either. There is a time period. There is a place that you can see this in Scripture where this is going to happen. But it's towards the end. And even the Scriptures that the pre-trib, mid-tribbers use... in a twinkling of an eye, that don't even tell you the time. It just says it's going to happen. It's going to happen just here, No. And of course, we've been trained through the 70th week of Daniel and those who propose that's gospel. That's not gospel. That's not even scriptural as far as pertaining to the point in tribulation. Now, a lot of PhD theologians will disagree. They'll say, oh, he's crazy. Well, I beg to differ. They're the ones that are nuts. And again, I tell you, just because you got a PhD and you were taught by another guy who was taught just what you're being taught, I can tell you, the lies of this teaching goes back centuries. It goes back decades and a long time. And man that was deceived taught another man that was deceived, taught another man. And they started giving him PhDs and degrees to make people believe him. That doesn't mean it's going to happen just because he has a PhD. Nevertheless, when we do discuss this, you know, I just tell people, you know, don't get so caught up in all this stuff. You know, I mean, let's go back to when Yahshua showed up, Jesus. You know, there were people looking for the consolation of Israel. And we know when he went into the temple, Simeon was there waiting. And there was others there who saw him and knew who he was. But see, the chief priests, the high mucky mucks in the Sanhedrin and others didn't even recognize him. So while we get all, see, this is what bothers me. When you get prophecy down to the point where you absolutely think, well, this is it. I know exactly what God is going to do. That's when I'm going the other way. Absolutely. That's nonsense. You do know some things. We do know. But when you can diagram it out, and I can draw you a line, I can put stuff in it just how they like to teach it. I'm not interested in that. Because it ain't going to happen like that. You get into Revelation, and I will show you. Now, from the standpoint when the beast shows up, we know how long it's going to be when he arrives. There's a point in there that you'll know how long it's going to be before the Lord comes. We know that part. We always figure and think, well, you know, the pre-trib, that going up to the tribulation is going to be, a short time. For the main seven-year proponents, the mid-trib, they like to conveniently divide it in half. The first 3.5 years and the last 3.5 years, because the last 3.5 years, you can find that in Revelation. The first 3.5 years, there's no place in the Bible where you can find that. Not to put it together and say it's going to be 7 years. I got news for you. The activities, prophetically speaking and scripturally, goes a lot longer than 7 years itself. We have been in this end time swing. The one main point, I think, was the year 2000 when you could see a change. And then when you got past 2010, and then you got up when we saw the double blood moons, which happened in the spring and the fall feast, that was another sign. So this is the thing. You want to get up in heaven, seek the Lord and look at him. And cried with a loud voice saying, salvation to our God, which sits upon the throne and unto the Lamb. See, these are the redeemed. They didn't get there by keeping the law, and when I say law, either the law of the Muslims, which is Sharia, or the law of Judaism. Now, Judaism came through, and God had appointed that, but that was fulfilled by Christ. He didn't do away with the law by no stretch, and I've talked about that a lot. But you're not saved by the law, by no stretch. You know, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And another one, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And through the law shall no flesh be saved. You can't, not by just the keeping of the law. But Christ fulfilled the law of the prophets and brought atonement for us. That did it. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts and fell before the throne on their faces and worshipped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory, wisdom and thanksgiving, honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen and amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes and whence they came? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in the temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. And they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, shall lead them unto the living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Now, that old song, there will be no tears in heaven, is not necessarily true, because wherever God is, there's heaven, and he is going to wipe the tears from your eyes, because there is going to be trouble. And so, when we look at this, we say, these are they which came out of the great tribulation. He speaks specifically of people that are arrayed in white robes, which is the righteousness of the saints, the righteousness of God. And of course, we could look at tribulation. This says great tribulation. But see, there are those that are going to be coming in the final time. See, heaven already has a lot of believers up there. They're justified. They're the souls of good men and women made perfect. And here we have within this scene a vast number no man can count, and they were all in white, worshiping before the throne. Now that's male, female, Jew, Gentile are all going to be one in Christ. This scene is the scene in heaven, the spiritual scene of what is coming. Make no mistake, we're going to be on an earth, but it's not going to be like the earth that you have now. It'll be perfect. Father, thank you for your word today and for those who hear this word. We thank you for your mercy. Bless them who hear this. In Jesus' name. Remember, go to our websites, warren-usa.com. That's our main ministry website, the WIBR Warren Christian Ministry, an end time ministry, an advocacy ministry, warning, teaching, and preaching agency. You can go to my personal website, danaglennsmith.com, danaglennsmith.com. They're both connected to one another in links in the nav bar, so you, if you go to Warren USA, you'll find it, and you can go to my other site. The articles, in depth, I encourage you to read them and pass them on. The shows, listen or watch the videos, pass them on. We need your help. Be sure to help us in that manner. And also, for all those who have a mind to, there are those that help support the work of this ministry. If you want to be one of those, I mean, you want to reach out. Our goal is to get this gospel around the world, and we're doing that right now. We can do so much more. You can help us. Go to warren-usa.com, and you can check in the nav bar, and there will be a place to donate, place to help us out. And I don't have donation buttons all over my website. So if you can't find one, send me an email. I'll send you the link. But the bottom line of it is, folks, we're going to do it. We're moving. We're going forward. If you want to join us, you're welcome to. But only if you feel the call, you know what we're doing, and you agree. I don't beg for support, folks. I look to the Lord. And you need to do that too. Bless you. Remember our show. We'll have another one. Sound the Show Far on Friday. And this week, we're putting them out. And I think that one's going to be in Timothy. We thank you for joining us today on Warn Radio, the Watchman Alert Radio Network. This is the Watchman, and for all of us here, shalom, everyone. See you again on the radio.